Thank you for being an incredible supporter of the 10x Podcast Group, the home of the skillful art of manipulation. We're thrilled to have you as part of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes and comments mean the world to us and help us reach a wider audience with our stories. Plus, with new episodes released every day, your feedback plays a vital role in shaping what we create. It truly makes a difference. Your loyalty and enthusiasm fuel our passion for crafting gripping tales, and we're so grateful for your support. Today, we're excited to present The Imposter, a story that promises to keep you on the edge of your seat. Let's dive into this thrilling narrative together. The Imposter. Chapter 1: The Arrival. The bus wheezed to a halt, its brakes releasing a high-pitched whine that echoed through the deserted station. Helena Voss stepped out onto the cracked pavement, her heels clicking sharply against the ground. The air in Blackwater was crisp and tinged with a faint scent of pine and rain-soaked earth. She paused for a moment, adjusting the strap of her worn leather bag, her eyes scanning the sleepy town with calculated curiosity. Blackwater was the kind of place that seemed frozen in time. Cobblestone streets lined with quaint shops and Victorian-style houses painted a picture of charm, but Helena knew better. Beneath the postcard-perfect exterior, every town had its secrets. Blackwater, she was certain, was no exception. Helena's reflection in the glass window of the bus depot caught her attention. The woman staring back at her was not Helena Voss, a former investigator with a haunted past. She was Elena Steele, an ambitious freelance journalist with a penchant for uncovering hidden truths. The persona was carefully crafted, her hair dyed a rich auburn, her hazel eyes framed by understated makeup, and her wardrobe a blend of casual sophistication. Every detail was deliberate, down to the slightly worn notebook tucked under her arm. She drew in a steadying breath and turned toward the heart of the town, where her mark resided. Dr. Victor Carlyle. The name alone carried weight. Renowned psychologist, philanthropist, and recluse, Victor was the kind of man who attracted whispers and speculation. Helena's job was to separate the truth from the lies, to find the chink in his carefully constructed armor. Her reasons for doing so were her own, buried deep beneath layers of her own deception. The bed and breakfast Helena had chosen was a modest establishment run by a kindly older woman named Mrs. Harper. The creak of the wooden floors and the faint smell of lavender greeted her as she stepped inside. "Ms. Steele, welcome." Mrs. Harper beamed, her hands clasped in front of her apron. "We don't get many visitors this time of year. You'll have the place mostly to yourself." "Perfect," Helena replied, offering a warm smile. Her voice carried the faintest trace of an accent she'd spent weeks perfecting, just enough to make her seem worldly but unassuming. Mrs. Harper led her to a cozy room with a quilted bedspread and lace curtains. The kind of place that would lull anyone into a false sense of security. Helena unpacked her essentials with mechanical precision, her mind already spinning with strategies. The first meeting was always the most important. Helena stood outside Victor Carlyle's estate the next afternoon, her heart pounding against her ribcage. The house loomed ahead, an imposing structure of dark stone and tall windows that seemed to watch her as much as she watched them. A wrought iron gate separated her from the mansion, but the intercom buzzed to life before she could press the call button. "You're early," a smooth male voice remarked. Helena's breath hitched. "Dr. Carlyle. Who else?" The voice was both amused and suspicious, as if he already saw through her. "I'm Elena Steele, the journalist," she replied, recovering quickly. "We had an appointment." The gate creaked open without another word. Helena adjusted her coat and strode forward, the gravel crunching beneath her boots. Every step felt like crossing into enemy territory. Victor met her at the door, his tall frame and sharp features imposing but not unkind. His dark eyes, however, held a predatory glint. "Ms. Steele," he said, extending a hand. "I don't often entertain strangers." "Thank you for making an exception," she replied, shaking his hand firmly. His grip was cold, his expression unreadable. Victor gestured her inside. The interior of the house was as meticulous as its owner, polished wood floors, an expansive library, and walls adorned with abstract art that hinted at a mind that thrived on complexity. "So," Victor began, his voice cutting through the silence as he led her to a study, "what brings you to Blackwater?" Helena settled into the chair he indicated, pulling out her notebook. "Your work, of course. People speak highly of you. I wanted to understand the man behind the reputation." Victor smirked, leaning back in his chair. "Flattery won't get you far, Ms. Steele. What is it you're really after?" Helena held his gaze, her smile unwavering. "The truth." For a moment, the room seemed to hold its breath. Victor's eyes narrowed slightly, but he said nothing, gesturing for her to continue. Helena began her carefully rehearsed questions, steering the conversation toward his work, his methods, and his thoughts on the human mind. But Victor's responses were as measured as they were evasive, leaving her with more questions than answers. As she left his estate that evening, the weight of his stare lingered on her. Victor Carlyle was not an easy man to crack, but Helena had expected as much. What she hadn't anticipated was the unease curling in her gut, a subtle warning that she was not the only one playing a game. Back in her room, Helena reviewed her notes under the dim glow of the desk lamp. Each word Victor had spoken replayed in her mind, dissected for hidden meanings. But it wasn't his words that unnerved her. It was his silence. The pauses, the calculated glances, the way he seemed to study her as much as she studied him. She closed her notebook and leaned back, her eyes drifting to the small mirror above the dresser. For the first time in years, she felt a flicker of doubt. Not in her skills, but in her ability to outmaneuver a man like Victor Carlyle. As the night deepened, Blackwater fell into a hush, the kind only small towns knew. But for Helena, sleep would not come easily. She had entered Victor Carlyle's world with a clear objective, but now the lines were already beginning to blur. And she had the unsettling feeling that she had underestimated her opponent. The Imposter. Chapter 2: Gaining Trust. The town of Blackwater had its routines, and Helena quickly learned to weave herself into them. Morning coffee at the local cafe, polite conversations with shop owners, and a lingering presence that didn't raise suspicion but made her hard to ignore. If she was going to infiltrate Victor Carlyle's life, she needed the trust of those around him first. By the end of her first week, she had become a familiar face. Her friendly demeanor and genuine curiosity endeared her to the locals, but her real goal was closer than ever. Victor's inner circle was small and carefully chosen, but she had identified her first point of entry: Martha, his housekeeper. Helena arrived at Victor's estate that Friday morning, armed with freshly baked scones she'd purchased from the bakery. She'd learned that Martha often handled minor errands and would likely be at the estate during Victor's weekly therapy sessions. The gate opened as she approached, its groan almost theatrical in the quiet morning. She knocked on the heavy wooden door, and after a moment, it swung open to reveal a stout woman in her mid-50s, her graying hair pulled into a neat bun. "Good morning," Helena greeted, her voice light and warm. "I know I'm early, but I wanted to bring these by as a thank you for Dr. Carlyle's time earlier this week." Martha hesitated, her eyes narrowing slightly before they fell on the bag of scones. "How thoughtful of you. Come in, but just for a moment. Dr. Carlyle doesn't like interruptions." Helena stepped inside, offering Martha a disarming smile. "I completely understand. I wouldn't dream of disturbing him." Martha led her to the kitchen, a space as meticulously designed as the rest of the house. Helena took a seat at the marble counter as Martha unpacked the scones. "These smell wonderful," Martha remarked. "Dr. Carlyle rarely has visitors, let alone ones who bring gifts." Helena chuckled, feigning modesty. "He's been very kind to let me interview him. I'm trying to capture the essence of Blackwater for an article." Martha raised an eyebrow. "The essence of Blackwater? Not sure there's much to write about. Quiet town, quiet people." "That's exactly why it's fascinating," Helena countered. "A place this peaceful always has a story to tell. Everyone here seems to hold Dr. Carlyle in such high regard. I imagine working for him must be quite an experience. Martha's expression softened, pride flickering in her eyes. He's a good man, but a private one. Keeps to himself, mostly. Some people don't understand him, but I've worked for him long enough to know he's genuine. Helena nodded thoughtfully. I can tell he's complex. The kind of person who sees more than he says. Martha smiled faintly, pouring Helena a cup of tea. That's one way to put it. Helena sipped the tea, letting the silence stretch just long enough to seem natural. It must be hard keeping up with someone like him. All those clients, all those secrets. Martha's hand paused mid-pour, her eyes flickering to Helena. It's part of the job. Dr. Carlyle respects privacy, and so do I. Of course, Helena said quickly, leaning back with an easy smile. I didn't mean to pry. I just admire your loyalty. It's rare these days. Martha's guarded expression eased, and Helena knew she'd planted the seed. Trust took time, but this was a solid start. Later that day, Helena strolled through the town square, notebook in hand, jotting down observations for her fabricated article. She made a point of stopping by the cafe where Victor's secretary, Rachel, often took her lunch breaks. Rachel was younger than Helena had expected, barely 30, with a no-nonsense demeanor that matched her crisp suits. Helena approached her table with practiced ease. Rachel, isn't it? She asked, her tone casual but friendly. Rachel looked up, her guarded expression softening when she recognized Helena. Yes. And you're the journalist, right? That's me, Helena said, sitting down across from her. I hope I'm not interrupting. I just wanted to thank you for helping me coordinate with Dr. Carlyle. He seems fascinating. Rachel smiled faintly, stirring her coffee. Fascinating is one word for it. Helena leaned forward slightly, lowering her voice. I get the sense he's not the easiest person to work for. Brilliant minds rarely are. Rachel chuckled, shaking her head. He's demanding, sure, but fair. Keeps me on my toes. Helena nodded, scribbling in her notebook. And his clients. They must be interesting, too. Rachel's eyes narrowed slightly. Confidentiality is a big part of what we do. I can't talk about the clients. Of course, Helena said, her tone understanding. I wouldn't dream of asking for specifics. It's just, as someone studying human behavior, I can't help but be curious about the dynamics. He must be good at reading people. Rachel hesitated, then shrugged. Yes. Scary good, actually. Helena's heart quickened. That's a rare gift. No wonder people seek him out. Rachel glanced at her watch and stood, gathering her things. I need to get back to work. Nice talking to you, Miss Steele. You too, Helena replied, standing as well. As Rachel walked away, Helena's mind churned with the implications of their brief conversation. Victor Carlyle's ability to read people wasn't just impressive, it was potentially dangerous. By the time Helena returned to the bed and breakfast that evening, she felt the weight of the day's progress. She had gained small footholds with Martha and Rachel, subtle but essential steps in infiltrating Victor's world. But the closer she got, the more she felt the walls closing in. She sat at the desk in her room, reviewing her notes under the warm glow of the desk lamp. Each detail, each interaction was another piece of the puzzle. Yet, for every question she answered, two more emerged. What was Victor hiding? Why did he keep such a tight grip on his life and the lives of those around him? As the town settled into its nightly stillness, Helena stared at her reflection in the window. For a brief moment, she saw the cracks in her own facade. You're in too deep already, she whispered to herself. But deep was where the truth lived, and Helena Voss had never been afraid to drown. The Imposter. Chapter 3: The First Secret. Helena's breath fogged the chilled morning air as she made her way to Victor Carlyle's estate for their next scheduled interview. The cobblestone streets of Blackwater were unusually quiet, the stillness amplifying the sound of her boots against the pavement. Her unease had grown since her last visit to Victor's home, yet it was that same unease that drove her forward. Victor had secrets. Helena was certain of that. But it was the small, cryptic note she'd found during her last visit that haunted her thoughts. A single name, Helena, written in Victor's precise handwriting. It wasn't just a coincidence. It was a breadcrumb, deliberately placed, begging to be followed. Victor greeted her at the door with his usual air of detachment. He was dressed impeccably, as always, his tailored suit betraying no sign of his rural surroundings. He led her to his study without a word, the silence heavy with unspoken tension. The room was an extension of Victor himself. Dark wood paneling, bookshelves crammed with titles on psychology and human behavior, and a grand desk that dominated the space. Helena settled into the same chair as before, her notebook open on her lap. She masked her nerves with a professional smile, but her mind raced, piecing together her next move. "Miss Steele," Victor began, his tone measured, "you seem particularly invested in my work. Tell me, do you find people as fascinating as you claim? Or is this interest purely professional?" Helena met his gaze evenly. "Can't it be both? People are endlessly complex. Their stories, their motivations. It's what makes life interesting." Victor leaned back, a faint smirk tugging at his lips. Spoken like someone who's lived many lives herself. The comment struck Helena like a blade, but she didn't flinch. "I suppose we all wear masks to some degree. The difference is, I'm not afraid to admit it." Victor chuckled softly, his eyes narrowing as if searching for cracks in her facade. "An honest answer from someone in your profession is refreshing." The conversation shifted as Helena began her carefully prepared questions. She guided Victor toward topics she hoped would reveal more about his past, his early career, his choice to settle in Blackwater, and his selective client base. Victor, however, was a master of evasion, steering her questions away from himself and back toward abstract theories of human behavior. But Helena was patient. She let Victor's words wash over her, all the while cataloging every gesture, every pause, every flicker of emotion that slipped through his otherwise impenetrable demeanor. After their session, Victor excused himself for a phone call, leaving Helena alone in the study. Her pulse quickened. This was the opportunity she'd been waiting for. She moved swiftly but silently, scanning the room for anything out of place. Her eyes landed on the mahogany desk, its drawers locked but not impenetrable. From her pocket, she retrieved a slender tool, a relic from her past life as a private investigator. The lock gave way with a quiet click, and Helena eased the drawer open. Inside was a leather-bound journal, its edges worn but its contents pristine. She flipped through the pages, her eyes darting over dense, meticulous handwriting. The entries were a mix of clinical notes and personal reflections, each one painting a portrait of Victor's clients and his own thoughts on their vulnerabilities. But one entry stood out, dated nearly a decade earlier. "Patient exhibits extreme paranoia and delusions of persecution. Unclear whether symptoms are organic or induced by external influences. Recommendation: separation from toxic relationships and close monitoring." Helena's heart pounded as she read the patient's name. Margaret Voss. Her mother's name. The air seemed to thicken around her as she stared at the page. Memories she had buried long ago clawed their way to the surface. Her mother's erratic behavior, the whispered conversations about the doctor, and the inexplicable fear that had consumed their lives before her mother's disappearance. Victor Carlyle had treated her mother. And now, here Helena was, sitting in his study, posing as someone else. The realization hit her like a tidal wave. This wasn't just a story. It was personal. Her focus shattered as she heard footsteps approaching. Quickly, Helena replaced the journal, locked the drawer, and returned to her seat, feigning composure. Victor entered the room, his expression unreadable. "Apologies for the interruption," he said smoothly, taking his seat across from her. His eyes swept over her, lingering just a moment too long. "You seem distracted, Miss Steele." Helena forced a smile, her fingers tightening around her pen. "Not at all. Your insights are captivating." Victor tilted his head, a flicker of amusement crossing his face. "I imagine so. But I wonder, Miss Steele, if you've ever considered how dangerous curiosity can be. The words sent a chill down Helena's spine. Victor's gaze was steady, his smirk almost imperceptible. He knew, or at least he suspected. But how much? Back at the bed and breakfast, Helena locked her door and sank onto the edge of the bed, her hands trembling. The journal entry replayed in her mind like a broken record. Margaret Voss. The name felt foreign now, a relic of a life she had long since abandoned. Her mother's disappearance had shaped Helena's entire existence, driving her to seek answers in places she had no business looking. And now, she was here, face to face with the man who might hold those answers. But Victor was not just a key to her past. He was also a threat, one she couldn't afford to underestimate. He was playing a game, and Helena was no longer certain she was the one in control. As the night stretched on, Helena's resolve hardened. She had come to Blackwater to expose Victor Carlyle, but now her mission was more urgent and more dangerous than ever. Victor had secrets, but so did Helena. And as their paths continued to intertwine, one truth became clear. Only one of them would emerge unscathed. The Imposter. Chapter 4 The Power Play. The air in Blackwater had shifted. Helena could feel it in the weight of every glance she exchanged with Victor Carlyle and in the mounting tension between them. She had crossed an invisible line during her last visit to his estate. And now, the game had begun in earnest. Victor was no longer simply a target. He was an opponent, and a formidable one at that. Helena spent the morning pacing her room at the bed and breakfast, her mind replaying every moment of their last meeting. Victor's subtle jabs, the cryptic journal entry, and the unnerving realization that he might already suspect her true identity, it all swirled together in a storm of doubt and determination. Her phone buzzed, snapping her out of her thoughts. The message was from Victor's secretary, Rachel. Dr. Carlyle has requested you join him for a private session at his estate. Noon. No recording devices allowed. Helena stared at the message, her pulse quickening. A private session. Victor was trying to turn the tables, to probe her mind as she had been probing his. It was a trap, undoubtedly, but one she couldn't afford to avoid. The drive to Victor's estate felt longer than usual, the winding road framed by towering pines that seemed to close in around her. By the time she arrived, the sky had darkened with a promise of rain, casting an ominous shadow over the already imposing mansion. Victor greeted her at the door, his expression unreadable. "Miss Steele," he said, his tone calm but edged with something she couldn't quite place. "Thank you for coming on such short notice." Helena forced a smile, stepping inside. "I appreciate the invitation. I wasn't expecting such personal attention." Victor chuckled softly. "Sometimes the best interviews happen outside the confines of a formal setting. Wouldn't you agree?" He led her to a smaller room she hadn't seen before, a sitting area with two armchairs facing each other and a low table between them. A tea set rested on the table, steam curling from the spout of the porcelain teapot. "Tea," Victor offered, already pouring a cup. "Thank you," Helena replied, taking the cup with steady hands despite the storm raging within her. Victor sat across from her, his posture relaxed but his gaze piercing. "You're an interesting woman, Ms. Steele. You have a way of asking questions that reveal more about you than they do about me." Helena raised an eyebrow, feigning curiosity. "Is that so? I'd argue that your answers are just as revealing." Victor smiled faintly, leaning back in his chair. "Perhaps. But I can't help wondering why someone like you is so interested in someone like me." Helena sipped her tea, using the moment to collect her thoughts. "Your reputation precedes you, Dr. Carlyle. People are drawn to stories of brilliance and mystery. It's human nature." Victor's eyes narrowed slightly, his smirk widening. "And yet, I sense there's more to your interest than simple curiosity. What is it you're really after, Ms. Steele?" The question hung in the air like a blade. Helena felt the weight of his scrutiny, the calculated way he dissected her every word and gesture. For a moment, she considered telling him the truth, or a version of it. but she quickly dismissed the thought. "I'm after the truth," she said evenly, meeting his gaze without flinching. Victor leaned forward, his expression darkening. "The truth can be dangerous, especially when it's not your own." The session that followed was unlike anything Helena had experienced. Victor's questions were sharp and unrelenting, peeling back layers of her carefully constructed persona with unnerving precision. He asked about her childhood, her ambitions, her fears, all under the guise of casual conversation. Helena deflected where she could, spinning half-truths and vague answers, but she couldn't shake the feeling that Victor saw through her. His insights were unsettlingly accurate, each one cutting closer to the core of who she was, and who she was pretending to be. At one point, Victor leaned back, his gaze contemplative. "Do you believe in fate, Ms. Steele?" Helena hesitated, unsure where the question was leading. "I think we make our own fate." Victor nodded slowly. "An admirable philosophy. But what happens when your fate collides with someone else's? When your choices become entangled with theirs in ways you can't control?" Helena's throat tightened. "I suppose it depends on the people involved." Victor smiled, a cold and knowing smile that sent a shiver down her spine. "Indeed." By the time the session ended, Helena felt as though she had been stripped bare, her every defense dismantled piece by piece. She left Victor's estate with her notebook untouched and her mind racing. Victor Carlyle was not just intelligent. He was dangerous. He had a way of turning questions into weapons, of unraveling truths without ever seeming to pry. And yet, there was something else, something deeper and darker, lurking beneath his polished exterior. As she walked back to her car, Helena glanced over her shoulder, half expecting to see Victor watching her from one of the mansion's tall windows. But the house stood silent and still, its secrets hidden behind walls as impenetrable as Victor himself. That night, Helena couldn't sleep. She sat at her desk, the faint glow of her laptop illuminating the room as she combed through the notes she had taken since arriving in Blackwater. The pieces of the puzzle were beginning to take shape, but the picture they formed was still incomplete. One thing was clear: Victor knew more about her than he let on. The way he had framed his questions, the subtle hints he had dropped, it all pointed to one conclusion. He was testing her, pushing her to see how far she would go. But Helena wasn't just a pawn in his game. She had her own moves to make, her own secrets to uncover. And if Victor thought he could outmaneuver her, he was sorely mistaken. As the first drops of rain tapped against the window, Helena made a silent vow. She would uncover Victor's secrets, no matter the cost. But to do so, she would have to tread carefully. Because in this game of manipulation and deceit, one wrong move could mean the difference between survival and ruin. The Imposter. Chapter 5: The Web of Lies. The rain fell in relentless sheets, soaking the town of Blackwater in a cold, unyielding drizzle. Helena watched the drops streak down the window of her room, her mind lost in the labyrinth of thoughts Victor Carlyle had constructed during their last meeting. The man was a master manipulator, a puppet master who thrived on control, and Helena was teetering dangerously close to becoming another one of his strings. But Helena wasn't here to play his game. She was here to dismantle it. Later that morning, Helena decided to return to Victor's estate under the guise of needing further clarification for her article. She knew she couldn't afford to show weakness. She had to strike while the tension between them was still fresh. Martha, ever the watchful housekeeper, greeted her with a polite smile but an unmistakable wariness in her eyes. "Back again, Ms. Steele. Dr. Carlyle didn't mention you'd be coming today." Helena mirrored her smile, adjusting the strap of her bag. "I realize it's short notice, but I had a few follow-up questions. I thought it best to come in person." Martha hesitated, her hand lingering on the door. "He's not in his study at the moment." "Then I'll wait," Helena said smoothly, stepping past her before she could protest. "I won't be long." The house was quiet, the sound of rain against the windows amplifying the eerie stillness. Helena moved with purpose, heading toward Victor's study. She needed answers, and she couldn't afford to waste another second waiting for permission to find them. Inside the study, Helena's attention was drawn to a large bookshelf that spanned an entire wall. She had noticed it before but hadn't had the opportunity to inspect it closely. Her fingers traced the spines of the books, pausing on one that seemed out of place, a plain black volume with no title. She pulled it from the shelf, her heart racing. Inside, she found a series of handwritten notes, diagrams, and photographs. The content was chilling. Detailed accounts of Victor's clients, their fears, their weaknesses, and in some cases their crimes. It was a psychological dossier, each entry more damning than the last. One name leapt off the page. Margaret Voss. Helena's breath caught in her throat as she flipped through the pages. The entry was extensive, filled with observations about her mother's mental state, her erratic behavior, and Victor's so-called treatment plan. But it wasn't the clinical notes that shook her to her core. It was the implication that Victor had manipulated her mother into cutting ties with her family. The final entry was a single, cryptic sentence. Patient has been neutralized. Case closed. Helena's vision blurred with anger and confusion. What did he mean by neutralized? Had Victor been involved in her mother's disappearance? And if so, why? She barely had time to process the revelation before a sound behind her made her freeze. She turned slowly to find Victor standing in the doorway. His expression a mix of curiosity and quiet menace. "Find something interesting, Miss Steele," he asked. His voice calm but laced with danger. Helena's mind raced. "I was looking for something to better understand your work. This is fascinating." She held up the book, forcing a smile. Victor stepped into the room, closing the door behind him. "That's not for public consumption. But you already knew that, didn't you?" Helena placed the book back on the shelf, her pulse pounding. "I didn't mean to intrude. I just wanted to understand the depth of your methods." Victor approached her slowly, his eyes never leaving hers. "Depth can be a dangerous thing, Miss Steele. You might find yourself drowning." Helena held her ground, refusing to let him see her fear. "Sometimes, drowning is the only way to uncover the truth." Victor's smirk returned, though it didn't reach his eyes. "Then I hope you're a strong swimmer." Helena left the estate feeling more rattled than ever. Victor had seen through her facade, of that she was certain. But she had also seen through his. The book she had found was more than a record of his clients. It was evidence of his control, his manipulation, and his power. And now, she was more convinced than ever that Victor had played a role in her mother's fate. That evening, Helena returned to her room and spread her findings across the desk. She began piecing together the fragments of Victor's life, his patients, and their connections to Blackwater. A pattern emerged, one that suggested Victor's influence extended far beyond his therapy sessions. He wasn't just treating his clients. He was orchestrating their lives, pulling strings that only he could see. As the hours ticked by, Helena's determination hardened. Victor Carlyle was not untouchable, and she would prove it. But to do so, she needed more than suspicion. She needed irrefutable evidence. Her thoughts were interrupted by a knock at her door. She tensed, glancing at the clock. It was well past midnight. "Who is it?" she called, her voice steady despite the chill that ran down her spine. "It's Rachel," came the muffled reply. Helena hesitated before opening the door. Rachel stood in the hallway, her expression tense and her eyes darting nervously. "We need to talk," Rachel said, her voice barely above a whisper. Helena stepped aside, letting her in. "What's going on?" Rachel glanced over her shoulder before speaking. "I don't know who you really are, but you're not here to write an article. And whatever you're looking for, you're not the only one." Helena's blood ran cold. "What do you mean?" Rachel leaned closer, her voice urgent. "Victor isn't what he seems. And if you're smart, you'll leave before it's too late." "Why are you telling me this?" Helena asked, her mind racing. "Because I've seen what happens to people who get too close," Rachel said, her voice trembling. "And I don't want to see it happen to you. As Rachel left, Helena felt a surge of both fear and resolve. The web of lies surrounding Victor Carlyle was more intricate than she had imagined, and now she was caught in its center. But Helena wasn't ready to back down. Victor had underestimated her. And by the time she was done, his carefully constructed world would come crashing down. The Imposter. Chapter 6, The Breaking Point. The town of Blackwater was eerily quiet as Helena stood by the window of her room, her mind replaying Rachel's warning. Victor isn't what he seems. And if you're smart, you'll leave before it's too late. The words had been delivered with unmistakable fear, but Helena couldn't afford to leave. Not now, when she was closer than ever to uncovering the truth. Her mother's name in Victor's records haunted her. The cryptic phrase, "patient has been neutralized," echoed in her mind, threatening to unravel her composure. What had Victor done? And what was he hiding behind that polished exterior? Helena's phone buzzed, pulling her from her thoughts. A message from an unknown number flashed on the screen. "Meet me at the park. Midnight. Come alone." Her heart raced. She had no idea who the message was from, but the stakes were too high to ignore it. The park was shrouded in darkness, the faint glow of a single street lamp casting long shadows across the empty benches. Helena clutched her coat tighter around her, scanning the area for any sign of movement. A figure emerged from the shadows, their face obscured by a hood. Helena's instinct screamed at her to turn back, but she stood her ground. "Helena Voss," the figure said, their voice low and gravelly. "You've been asking the wrong questions." Helena stiffened, her pulse quickening. "Who are you? And what do you know about Victor Carlyle?" The figure stepped closer, just enough for Helena to see a man's face etched with weariness and suspicion. "I'm someone who used to work for him. I saw things I shouldn't have. Things he doesn't want anyone to know." "What kind of things?" Helena pressed. The man hesitated, his gaze darting around as if expecting to be watched. "He's not just a therapist. He's a handler. His patients aren't patients, they're assets. People he manipulates into doing his dirty work." Helena's stomach twisted. "You're saying he's running some kind of operation?" The man nodded. "Blackmail, sabotage, espionage. He uses people's secrets against them, forces them into roles they can't escape. And once they outlive their usefulness." He didn't finish the sentence, but the implication was clear. The next morning, Helena awoke with a renewed sense of purpose. Victor Carlyle wasn't just a therapist. He was a puppet master, pulling strings in a web of manipulation that extended far beyond Blackwater. And if he had been involved in her mother's disappearance, it wasn't as a bystander. She spent the day piecing together everything she had learned, cross-referencing Victor's patient files with public records and local news reports. Patterns began to emerge, seemingly unconnected events that, upon closer inspection, bore Victor's fingerprints. Political scandals, corporate takeovers, personal vendettas, all traced back to people who had once been in his care. But one file stood out: Margaret Voss. The details were sparse, but a name kept appearing alongside hers: David Hawthorne. Helena's blood ran cold. David Hawthorne was a name she recognized. He had been her mother's closest confidant in the months leading up to her disappearance. A man her mother had described as a friend, but one who had vanished without a trace after she was gone. If David Hawthorne was connected to Victor Carlyle, then he might be the missing piece of the puzzle. But finding him would not be easy. Helena decided to confront Victor directly. If he truly knew more than he let on, then it was time to push him out of his comfort zone. That afternoon, she arrived at his estate unannounced. Martha answered the door, her expression strained. "Dr. Carlyle is busy," she said curtly. "I'm not leaving until I see him," Helena replied, her voice firm. Martha hesitated, then reluctantly stepped aside. Helena entered the house, her heels clicking against the polished floors as she made her way to the study. Victor was seated behind his desk, his expression calm but his eyes sharp. "Miss Steele," he said, leaning back in his chair, "to what do I owe this unexpected visit?" Helena closed the door behind her, her gaze unwavering. I know what you've been doing, Victor. And I know about my mother. Victor's smirk faltered, replaced by a flicker of something darker. Your mother. Margaret Voss, Helena said, stepping closer. She was one of your patients. Or should I say one of your assets? Victor stood, his imposing frame towering over her. You've been busy, haven't you? Digging where you shouldn't. It's a dangerous habit. Not as dangerous as your secrets, Helena shot back. What happened to my mother, Victor? What did you do to her? Victor's gaze hardened, his tone icy. Your mother was a troubled woman. I helped her the best I could. Helped her? Helena laughed bitterly. You manipulated her. Just like you've manipulated everyone else. Victor stepped closer, his voice low and deliberate. You think you've uncovered the truth, but you have no idea what you're dealing with. You're playing a game you can't win, Ms. Voss. Helena refused to back down. We'll see about that. As she left the estate, Helena felt a mix of triumph and dread. She had rattled Victor, but she had also put herself in his crosshairs. The stakes were higher than ever, and the line between predator and prey was becoming increasingly blurred. That night, Helena received another message. Hawthorne. 10 p.m. The old mill. The pieces were falling into place, but the deeper Helena went, the more dangerous the game became. She had entered Victor Carlyle's world to uncover the truth, but now she wasn't sure if she would make it out alive. The Imposter. Chapter 7, The Ultimate Betrayal. The old mill loomed in the distance, its skeletal frame silhouetted against the pale glow of the moon. Helena parked her car a safe distance away, the engine's quiet hum fading as she stepped into the cold night. The air was thick with tension, every shadow seeming to watch her as she approached the derelict building. Inside, the silence was oppressive, broken only by the faint rustle of leaves and the creak of aging wood. Helena's flashlight swept across the cavernous space, its beam revealing nothing but dust and decay. Her heart pounded in her chest, each step forward feeling like a step deeper into the unknown. Helena, a voice called out, low and gravelly. She spun around, her flashlight catching the figure of a man standing in the shadows. He stepped into the light, his face partially obscured by the hood of his jacket. It was the same man who had met her in the park. "You're David Hawthorne," she said, her voice steady despite the turmoil within her. The man nodded, pulling back his hood to reveal a face worn by time and fear. "You've been looking for answers. I'm the only one who can give them to you." David led her to a secluded corner of the mill, where they sat amidst the crumbling remains of machinery. His eyes darted nervously, scanning the darkness as if expecting someone to emerge. "Your mother," he began, his voice trembling, "wasn't just Victor's patient. She was his experiment." Helena's stomach twisted. "Experiment?" David nodded, his gaze dropping to the ground. "Victor doesn't just manipulate people, he controls them. He finds their breaking points, their deepest fears, and uses them to mold them into whatever he needs. Your mother was one of his earliest projects." Helena's mind raced. "What did he do to her?" David hesitated, his hands trembling. "He convinced her she was in danger, that the only way to protect you was to sever all ties with the outside world. He isolated her, made her dependent on him. And when she started to question him, when she became a liability, he made her disappear." The words hit Helena like a punch to the gut. She felt the air leave her lungs, her vision swimming. "Disappear how?" "I don't know," David admitted, his voice cracking. "But I do know this, Victor has done this before. Your mother wasn't the first, and she wasn't the last." Helena leaned forward, her voice a harsh whisper. "Why are you telling me this? Why now?" David's expression darkened. "Because I know what he's capable of. And I know he's already watching you." The sound of footsteps echoed through the mill, sharp and deliberate. Helena and David froze, their eyes locking as the realization hit them. They weren't alone. "Helena Voss," a familiar voice called out, smooth and composed. Victor. Helena's blood ran cold. She turned to see Victor stepping into the light, his face a mask of calm control. He carried himself with the confidence of a man who had already won, his hands tucked casually into the pockets of his coat. "You've been busy," Victor said, his gaze flicking between Helena and David. "Digging where you shouldn't. Associating with people you shouldn't." David rose to his feet, his fists clenched. "Stay away from her, Victor." Victor smirked, his eyes gleaming with dark amusement. Brave words from a man who knows exactly how this ends. Helena stepped between them, her voice sharp. "What did you do to my mother, Victor?" Victor's smile faded, replaced by a cold, calculating expression. "Your mother made choices, Helena. Choices that had consequences." "That's not an answer," Helena snapped. Victor took a step closer, his voice dropping to a menacing whisper. "The truth, Ms. Voss, is that your mother couldn't handle the world as it was. I simply helped her let go." Rage surged through Helena, her fists tightening. "You destroyed her." Victor tilted his head, his smirk returning. "I freed her. And I can do the same for you if you're not careful." Before Helena could respond, David lunged at Victor, his rage boiling over. But Victor moved with startling precision, sidestepping the attack and delivering a sharp blow to David's side. David crumpled to the ground, gasping for air. Helena rushed to his side, her eyes blazing with fury. "This isn't over, Victor." Victor's smirk deepened. "Oh, but it is. You've stepped into a world you don't understand, Helena. And you've underestimated me." He turned and disappeared into the shadows, his footsteps fading into the night. Helena sat frozen, her heart pounding as the reality of the situation set in. Victor had played his hand, and she had barely survived the encounter. Back at her room, Helena tended to David's injuries. He winced as she cleaned the cut on his temple, his face pale and drawn. "You should leave," he said, his voice barely above a whisper. "Victor won't stop until he's destroyed you too." Helena shook her head, her resolve hardening. "I'm not leaving. He doesn't get to win." David's eyes met hers, a mixture of fear and admiration. "Then you need to be smarter than him. Faster. Stronger." "I will be," Helena said, her voice steady. "He's underestimated me. And that's his biggest mistake." As the first light of dawn broke over Blackwater, Helena felt a spark of hope amidst the darkness. Victor Carlyle was powerful, but he wasn't invincible. And she was no longer just a pawn in his game. She was ready to become his greatest threat. The Imposter. Chapter 8: The Reckoning. The storm had passed, but Blackwater remained cloaked in an ominous stillness. Helena stood at the edge of her desk, staring down at the scattered notes, photographs, and patient files she had collected. Each fragment painted a chilling portrait of Victor Carlyle's network of manipulation and deceit. Yet the puzzle was still incomplete. David had left before dawn, urging her once again to abandon her mission. But Helena's resolve was unshakable now. She wasn't leaving Blackwater, not without bringing Victor to his knees. The first step in her plan was to unravel Victor's web of control. She needed evidence strong enough to expose him, not just to his clients but to the entire world. Her breakthrough came when she revisited the list of names in his secret files. Among them was a man named Elliot Grayson, a powerful corporate executive whose sudden fall from grace had made headlines years ago. The files suggested that Victor had orchestrated Elliot's downfall, pulling the strings that had left him ruined and humiliated. Helena tracked Elliot down to a secluded estate on the outskirts of a neighboring town. The man who answered the door was a shadow of his former self, his eyes hollow and his voice tinged with bitterness. "Who are you?" Elliot asked, his gaze wary. "I'm someone who wants to take Victor Carlyle down," Helena said bluntly. "And I need your help." Inside the dimly lit study, Elliot listened as Helena laid out everything she had uncovered. His expression shifted from disbelief to anger as the truth sank in. "I always suspected Victor had a hand in it," Elliot admitted, his voice trembling with rage. "But I could never prove it." "Now we can," Helena said, her tone resolute. "You're not the only one he's destroyed. If we work together, we can expose him for what he really is." Elliot hesitated, his fingers tightening around the edge of his chair. "Do you have any idea what you're up against? Victor doesn't just destroy people. He erases them." "I know," Helena said, her voice steady. "But I'm not afraid of him." Elliot studied her for a moment, then nodded. "All right. Let's bring him down." With Elliot's help, Helena began piecing together the final layers of Victor's operation. They discovered financial transactions linking Victor to a network of shell companies and shadowy organizations, each one tied to scandals and crimes that had never been fully explained. As they dug deeper, they uncovered something even more damning: a series of encrypted communications between Victor and a mysterious figure known only as Haven. The messages hinted at a larger conspiracy, one that extended far beyond Blackwater. "This isn't just about him," Elliot said, his voice grim. "This is a machine. And Victor is just one cog." Helena's determination burned brighter. If Victor was part of something larger, then exposing him would be the first step in dismantling the entire operation. The confrontation came sooner than expected. Helena and Elliot had planned to release their findings to the press, but Victor struck first. A package arrived at Helena's door, its contents sending a chill down her spine. Photographs of her taken from the shadows and a single note that read, "You're playing a dangerous game, Ms. Voss." Helena knew what it meant. Victor was warning her, but he had underestimated her resolve. She wouldn't be intimidated. Not now, not ever. That evening, Helena made her move. She arranged a meeting with Victor at his estate, claiming she had information that would be mutually beneficial. He agreed, but she could sense the tension in his response. He was wary, perhaps even rattled. Victor greeted her in his study, his expression as calm and composed as ever. "Ms. Steele," he said, gesturing for her to sit. "I must admit, I'm curious about your sudden change of heart." Helena sat across from him, her gaze unwavering. "You've built an empire on lies, Victor. And I've come to offer you a choice. Walk away now, or watch it crumble." Victor's smirk faltered for a brief moment, but he quickly recovered. "Bold words. But do you really think you can outmaneuver me?" "I don't think, Victor." "I know," Helena said, pulling a folder from her bag. She laid it on the table, opening it to reveal the evidence she and Elliot had gathered. Financial records, encrypted communications, and a detailed map of his network. Victor's eyes darkened as he flipped through the pages. "Impressive," he admitted. "But you've made a critical mistake." "And what's that?" Helena asked, her tone calm. "You assume I have something to lose," Victor said, leaning back in his chair. "But I've already accounted for this possibility. You see, Ms. Steele, I always plan for contingencies." Victor's words hung in the air like a threat, but Helena refused to back down. "You might be able to silence me, Victor. But you can't silence the truth. This evidence is already in the hands of people who won't be so easy to intimidate." Victor's expression remained impassive, but a flicker of something crossed his eyes. Doubt, perhaps, or anger. For the first time, Helena saw the cracks in his armor. "You've underestimated me," Helena continued, her voice rising. "I'm not just another one of your pawns. I'm the one who's going to end you." As Helena walked out of the estate that night, she felt a surge of triumph. She had stood toe-to-toe with Victor Carlyle and emerged unscathed. But she knew the battle was far from over. Victor was a man who thrived on control, and he wouldn't let her victory go unanswered. Back at her room, Helena opened her laptop and began drafting her next move. The game had changed, and the stakes were higher than ever. But she was ready for whatever came next. Victor Carlyle had underestimated her for the last time. The Imposter. Chapter 9. The Imposter Unmasked. The early morning light crept through the windows of Helena's room, casting long shadows over the chaos strewn across her desk. The culmination of weeks of investigation, fear, and determination lay in the piles of evidence she and Elliot had meticulously gathered. But this morning, something felt different, like the calm before a storm. Helena stared at her laptop screen, her finger hovering over the trackpad. The document she was about to send would expose Victor Carlyle for what he truly was. Every name, every crime, every connection, it was all there, ready to shatter the illusion he had so carefully built. But the weight of her actions pressed down on her. This wasn't just about her anymore. The fallout from exposing Victor would ripple far beyond Blackwater, touching the lives of everyone caught in his web. And Helena wasn't naive enough to believe she would escape unscathed. The sound of a knock at the door broke her thoughts. She rose cautiously, her heart racing as she approached. "Who is it?" she called, her voice steady despite the tension coiling in her chest. "It's Elliot," came the reply. Helena opened the door to find Elliot standing there, his expression grim. "We've got a problem," he said, stepping inside and closing the door behind him. "Victor knows. He's already moving against us." Helena frowned, her mind racing. "What do you mean?" Elliot handed her a printed email, its contents chilling. "He's spinning a narrative, leaking information that paints you as the manipulator, a journalist with a vendetta, fabricating lies to destroy him." Helena scanned the email, her jaw tightening. "Course he is. It's classic Victor. Deflect, discredit, and destroy." "We have to act now," Elliot said. "If we don't release the evidence today, he'll bury us before we get the chance." Helena nodded, her resolve hardening. "Then we release it. All of it." The plan was simple. A coordinated release to multiple media outlets, ensuring the story would reach the public before Victor could suppress it. Helena worked tirelessly, uploading files, drafting emails, and preparing statements. Elliot paced the room, his anxiety palpable. As the clock ticked closer to noon, Helena hit send, the emails vanishing into cyberspace. She leaned back, exhaling sharply. "It's done." Elliot stopped pacing, his gaze fixed on her. "Now we wait." But waiting wasn't an option for Victor Carlyle. Less than an hour later, Helena's phone buzzed. The caller ID sent a chill down her spine. "Victor Carlyle." She answered, her voice steady. "Victor. You've made quite the spectacle, Ms. Voss," Victor said, his tone calm but laced with menace. "Did you really think this would end in your favor?" "It's not about winning or losing," Helena replied. "It's about the truth. And now the world knows yours." Victor chuckled, the sound sending a shiver down her spine. "The truth is subjective, my dear. And I'm very good at rewriting it." "Not this time," Helena said firmly. "You can't bury this." "Perhaps," Victor said, his voice dropping to a whisper. "But you've overlooked one critical detail." Helena's pulse quickened. "And what's that?" "You've made enemies of powerful people, Helena. People who don't forgive and don't forget. Enjoy the spotlight while it lasts." The line went dead. Victor's words haunted Helena as she and Elliot monitored the fallout from their release. News outlets were picking up the story, the evidence spreading like wildfire across social media. Victor's carefully curated image was crumbling, his influence unraveling in real time. But with every victory came a cost. That evening, as Helena returned to her room, she found the door ajar. Her heart sank as she stepped inside, the sight before her freezing her in place. Her desk had been ransacked, papers strewn across the floor. Her laptop lay shattered, its screen flickering weakly. And pinned to the wall above it was a photograph of her mother, a red X drawn across her face. Helena's knees buckled, but she caught herself against the edge of the bed. This wasn't just a warning, it was a declaration of war. Helena spent the night in a frenzy of preparation. She gathered what was left of her files, backing them up in multiple locations. She sent messages to trusted contacts, warning them of the danger they might face. And she crafted one final statement, a direct message to Victor. You can destroy me, but you'll never destroy the truth. Your time is up. The final confrontation came at dawn. Helena returned to Victor's estate, the gate standing ominously open as if inviting her inside. She found him in his study, seated behind his grand desk. His expression calm but his eyes cold. "Miss Voss," he said, his tone almost amused. "To what do I owe the pleasure?" Helena stepped forward, her gaze unwavering. "This ends now, Victor." Victor leaned back, steepling his fingers. "You think you've won, don't you? That exposing me will bring justice." "It already has," Helena said. "Your empire is crumbling. People are seeing you for what you really are." Victor's smirk deepened. "And yet here you are. Alone. Afraid." Helena's jaw tightened. "I'm not afraid of you." "You should be," Victor said. His voice soft but menacing. "Because no matter what you do, no matter how far you run, I will always be one step ahead." Helena stared at him, a mixture of rage and defiance burning in her chest. "Not this time." With that, she turned and walked out, leaving Victor alone in the crumbling empire he had built. As she drove away from Blackwater, the weight of the past weeks finally began to lift. She didn't know what the future held, but one thing was certain. She had faced Victor Carlyle and survived. But as the town faded into the distance, a lingering thought remained. Victor was right about one thing. He was always one step ahead. And though she had won this battle, the war was far from over. For now, though, Helena allowed herself a rare moment of peace. She had uncovered the truth, and no one, not even Victor Carlyle, could take that away from her.